Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
The title is Proud to Be a Christian. I am proud to be a Christian. Proud to stand in this pulpit and preach the word of God. Proud to be slandered for the name of Jesus Christ. Proud to be the doulos Christus, slave of Christ. I am proud of it all and eager to share it with everyone I meet. The world says, be ashamed of Jesus Christ. So does the devil, so does our flesh, and so do the cowardly who seek to avoid persecution. But what does the word of God say? Galatians 6:14, boast in the cross of Christ. Let us be inspired this morning to brag about the great atonement of the great Messiah planned by our great and loving God and carried out for us on the cross. Point number one, boast. We are commanded to boast. This runs counter to every Christian instinct that we have. We see our own unworthiness before God due to our sin, and we see our own inadequacy even after redemption, for we still sin. Our own conscience and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures are always warning us against pride and towards humility. You can look at James 4:10, Luke 14:11, but the word humble, humble, humble is all over the Bible. It's all over the place, right up there with the exhortation not to fear. This is because we can lean towards pride, and we can easily drift in that direction. And so God is frequently warning us, beware and don't become proud. And we are, in fact, to be humble about one thing, ourselves. But we are to boast, boast, boast loudly, boisterously, freely, and gloriously about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, on which he made atonement for all men and women who will trust in him. Now, it is very sensible to be humble about myself. I am nothing and I have done nothing. Even from a worldly perspective, most of us have not accomplished much. 1 Corinthians 1:26 reminds us, not many wise, noble, and so on. I remember back when I was practicing law, I went to a pretty good law school. I had some pretty prestigious jobs. You begin to get puffed up. And then you go to hire some expert witnesses, and you read these people's resumes, and they can do surgery on a baby that's still in the womb. And then you see that they are younger than you, and you remember, I have done nothing. Or think about incredible people like Elon Musk, seems to be able to invent and market anything. Or Trump, a success in real estate, entertainment, and politics. But even they will be little remembered and not long noted. For all men are like fading grass or falling blossoms. Soon they are gone and soon they are forgotten. This is especially true when we see ourselves through the clear truth of the biblical lens. We can take credit for nothing. We did not create our own lives. God did that. Psalm 139:13, God created my inmost being and knit me together in my mother's womb. I cannot take credit for any intelligence that I have. For where did that come from? Oh, we might have developed it through education, through reading, and so on. But where did the innate intelligence come from? God planted it there. Artistic ability, creativity, good looks, stamina, and energy, the ability to work hard, solve puzzles, or speak persuasively, it all comes from God. Even our continued daily moment-by-moment existence depends on God. Hebrews 1 verse 3 tells us he sustains all things, including us, by his powerful word. That means we would fall apart, disintegrate, but for God's affirmative action to sustain us. Job 34:14, if he withdrew his spirit and his breath, all mankind would perish together and man would return to the dust. So we cannot even take credit for our continued existence. We are utterly dependent upon God for everything. And so we have nothing to brag about. As St. Paul himself said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive from God? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? In other words, all you are and all you do is ultimately creditable to God and not to you. So there's nothing to boast about yourself. This is in part why St. Paul says in our text, may I never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's because there's nothing else for us to boast about. Even our salvation is no matter for boasting. We are saved and destined for glory on one basis only, the cross of Jesus Christ, his person and his work. We contribute nothing to salvation except perhaps our desperate need for it. Due to the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, and our inherited sin nature from them, we are born as objects of wrath. We are born destined for destruction, Romans 9:22. Even you who wish to brag that you were born in the church, yeah, I wasn't, and confessed Christ from an early age and never went into any major sin, however you define that. The Bible says there is no difference, Romans 3:23. The Bible says you were like the rest, by nature, objects of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. We were all, every one of us, regardless of background, dead in our transgressions and sins. It is only by God's grace that any of us is saved, not from ourselves, but by the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. Because we are saved by grace, which is received by faith and not by works, no one can boast, Ephesians 2:9. Now, this was particularly a problem the Galatian church was facing. These Judaizers wanted to come in and compel men to be circumcised as a condition of their salvation, so that those Judaizers themselves could then go and boast about it, boast about the flesh. They could go back to Jerusalem and say, look what we did. We got them to be circumcised. No, says St. Paul, no. Our salvation is not an achievement for us to boast about. It is not by us to be boasted about by us who are saved or by any other human action. We must boast about God and not ourselves, about his salvation achieved for us by Jesus Christ on the cross. It is important for us to remember that God did all the work. The theological term is monergistic. It means one-sided, God only. We ourselves were dead, spiritually speaking, Ephesians 2:1. And as spiritually dead people, we could not make ourselves spiritually alive. In fact, we could not do anything to improve our condition. So we cannot claim any of the credit. Nor can any other man or woman claim the credit, for as Psalm 49 tells us, no man can redeem the life of another. We have a role to play in the salvation of other people. We're to speak the gospel to them. We're to hold out the words of life to them. But don't ever get confused and think, I saved them. We are simply the conduit through which God is speaking. The difference in whether someone is saved or not is not how good your argument is or how friendly you are. It is whether the Holy Spirit moves in that person's heart to regenerate them when they hear the word of God. In other words, God did it all. He chose us to be saved in eternity past, Ephesians 1:4. He chose us only on the basis of his great love and rich mercy. So there was nothing special about you or me that caused him to pick us, Ephesians 2:4. He chose us and he loved us when we were quite unlovable, while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8. Covered in the filth of our sin and in fact glorying in it, Ephesians 2:3. In other words, he reconciled us to him when we were still his enemies. God took care of our sin problem for us. He sent Jesus Christ himself, very God, to live in perfection for us, to live without sin, Hebrews 4:15. A totally unique person and a totally unique action in all of human history. God became man. Never happened before, never happened again. Jesus was therefore an acceptable and worthy sacrifice, for he was holy and pure. And he willingly offered himself as a sacrifice in our place to make atonement for our sin, which we could not. Matthew 26, 28. Galatians 1, 4, way back in the first chapter of this book we've been preaching through, says he gave himself for our sins. So he was a worthy sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice, but he was also a sufficient sacrifice. As very God, Jesus himself is infinite, and his blood is of infinite value. So he was able to suffer the full wrath due to us for our sin against God. He was able to pay it completely. And as he lay dying, he testified to that fact. Tetelestai, it is finished, it is complete. We know it because he said so, and we know it because he rose again from the grave after 3 days, for death could not keep a hold on him, Acts 2, 24. He paid it all and with room to spare. Death thus had no legitimate claim on him any longer, and God the Father raised him up from the dead by the mighty Holy Spirit. That's how one way that you know that his sacrifice was sufficient, that it worked, that he took care of it. And he offered and offers this to us as his free gift for us. A gift because it is too costly. We could never pay for it. A gift because our attempted contribution would only dilute and corrupt his perfect and complete sacrifice. A gift so that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit might receive all the glory for their work of salvation. After all, the ultimate purpose of this universe and everything that happens in it is the manifestation of God's glory. It's very disappointing to learn that we're not the center of the universe, or that even our salvation is not the chief purpose of the universe. That's very disappointing. But it is nonetheless true. The manifestation, the display of God's glory is the purpose of this universe. This is especially true of our eternal salvation, for it displays the love of God, the mercy of God, the wrath of God, the wisdom of God, all facets of God in one go. So we should not grab some of God's glory for saving us by pretending that we had a part in it. And that's what these Judaizers were doing, at least in part. See, God did a lot of things, but I added circumcision, so I can boast about it. Or in our day, we would say, I chose for Jesus, so I can boast about it. I opened myself to him. The Bible says God opened the heart of Lydia so that she could be saved. Or I took some action to predispose myself to God's offer of salvation. No, we were dead, dead, dead in our transgressions and sin. We did nothing. So we should never boast about our salvation as though we did something or any of our perceived achievements, but we must boast instead in Jesus Christ and in his cross alone. Point number two, boast in the cross of Christ. Well, just as it is very sensible not to boast about ourselves, it is likewise very sensible to boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, because that's what God says to do in verse 14 of our text. Always sensible to obey the word of God. He is sovereign and he is powerful, and we owe him our obedience as his created creatures who depend on him for our lives moment by moment. Second, it's sensible to boast in the cross of Christ because we should be so very grateful for his eternal salvation for us. And so we should be eager to boast about what God did for us in his gratefulness. Not boasting about me and how great I am, but boasting about God and how great he is. We are always talking about amazing things that we have seen or heard. Some of you who are baseball fans may have bragged about how you saw Freddie Freeman hit his walk-off grand slam in game one. More so, we boast more so when we were involved or witnessed the event directly. If you ever sit with lawyers, they will inevitably go into old war stories from trial or cases they did. Or for some of us, we'll talk about our COVID days out on the quad, meeting in the cold and the wind and the sprinklers. Well, how much more should we boast about the greatest event in human history? And not just the greatest event in human history, but in my personal and eternal history. At the midpoint of time, Jesus Christ accomplished the great salvation of his people on the cross. We should be so grateful to our Lord and overjoyed for our salvation that we will just never shut up about it, that we are always boasting about it. Look at what God did for me. Glory to God. The third reason it is sensible to boast in the cross of Christ is because it glorifies him when we do so. As we said, that is the purpose of the entire universe and all creation, is to magnify or to display God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us the same. Whether we eat or drink or speak or boast or whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. When we boast about Jesus Christ, we glorify God in at least three ways. First, we are giving credit where credit is due, making sure that the maximum people know the maximum amount about what God has done for his people, and that they would see our joy about it to the maximum degree. That glorifies God. Second, when we boast about the cross of Jesus Christ, we are sharing the gospel. Anytime you speak about the cross, the gospel is present. Jesus Christ died for our sins and offered his salvation to us. And then, of course, he offers it to you, too, whoever that audience is. In our boasting, the Holy Spirit may work to save, and God is greatly glorified for his mercy in saving hellbound sinners. Remember, Luke 15, verse 7 says that there is great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. God is glorified in such thunderous heavenly rejoicing. And three, some will harden their hearts and foolishly reject God's free offer of salvation. But even in that, God is glorified. For God is greatly glorified in his justice and wrath in sending recalcitrant sinners to eternal hell, which they freely chose. God is greatly glorified for his grace in offering them the salvation which they rejected. God is greatly glorified for his patience in giving them time and time and time to repent. Romans 9:22. God is greatly glorified for his truthfulness in that event, keeping his word to eternally condemn all who reject him. Matthew 25:46. God is greatly glorified for his mighty and holy wrath against sin. For holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. God is greatly glorified for his great power and sovereignty in subduing all rebels against him. Eternal hell thus stands as a monument to the glory of God, and it demonstrates the enormity of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross for us who trust in him alone. So boast, boast, boast away in the cross of Christ. It is a physical symbol and reminder of the great atonement achieved for us by Jesus Christ. And it is surely worth boasting about. God loved man and made atonement for man at the highest possible cost. So boast about that cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, first by surrendering to it, by surrendering to Jesus as your Lord and trusting in him alone. Notice that Paul does not say he boasts in the cross. He does not say that he boasts in the cross of Jesus, but rather he boasts in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So confess him as your Lord, and then you will have received from him your salvation. When you confess him as Lord, you receive him as your Savior, Romans 10, 9, and 10. In our day, it's popular to pretend some distance or dichotomy between those two things. I can have Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. That's an unbiblical invention of man. Confess him as your Lord and receive him as your Savior, trusting in him alone and not yourself for your salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins. And having trusted in him, boast away and boast in him alone for his glory. And don't ever let anyone shut you up about it. Boast about Jesus and keep on boasting about Jesus. Many will try to shut you up. The Judaizers and their fear of persecution will come along in their pretended piety to shut you up. In their fear of persecution, which Paul talks about in the prior verse, They will tempt you to tone it down, tempt you to water it down. You're making a lot of noise. You're going to draw a lot of attention. This is going to cause a lot of problems. They will tempt you to offer sinful man a little piece of God's glory, that the gospel might appear more attractive to them, or at least less offensive, that you might mollify everyone and spare yourself some trouble. That is a false gospel that does not glorify God and does not save. Or in our time, to offer a little bit of sin. God understands a little bit of sin is okay. You can keep your sin and go to heaven. This is a temptation to water down the gospel and to boast about how magnanimous we are. I'm more merciful than God. I let you keep a little bit of your sin. Isn't that nice? No. Boast and boast and boast some more, shining the cross and the light of the gospel before all. And don't let Judaizers or false brothers shut you up. Not only will other false Christians work against you, your own flesh will work against you. It will tempt you to stop boasting so that you can avoid persecution and trouble. It may be severe persecution, like death and arrest and so on. Or it may be comparatively light persecution, like social exclusion. Or your flesh will tempt you simply by laziness. It's a lot of hassle to meet someone new and to explain the gospel to them when you don't even know if it will work out. Or your flesh may tempt you by discouragement. This is like the prophet in the cave. I'm the only one left. It was not true. God had reserved 7,000 others. But our flesh works against us to discourage us. Remember that God is glorified wherever and whenever you boast about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So remember that he's glorified no matter the outcome, and boast on. The devil will discourage you from boasting. It's too hard, he'll say. Haven't you done enough already? Are you really sure it's all true? Isn't it just an old myth from those unscientific dark ages? Are you really sure that he died for you? You're so very unworthy. Don't listen to the devil. He is a liar and the father of lies, who only lies. Yes, it is true, Jesus died for his people. It is true that he was God, that he became man, and that he lived and died to save God's chosen people. Yes, it is true, on top of that he died for me. For though I am unworthy, God loves the unworthy. So I will boast and boast and boast some more about the cross of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, never letting the enemy cause me to shipwreck my own faith or to withdraw from the fight. I will not grow weary of doing good, as St. Paul said elsewhere in this chapter, but rather will boast about the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ to the church and to the world until God calls me home. So your flesh is against you, false brothers are against you, the devil is against you, the world is also against you. The world will discourage you from boasting. Shut up, they will shout. We command you not to teach or speak at all in the name of Jesus, Acts 4:18. May we respond then as the mighty St. Peter and St. John did. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. They may threaten you, as they did to Peter and John, Acts 4:21. They may arrest you, Acts 4, verse 3. They may ostracize you, exclude you, Acts 5:13. It may cost you your livelihood. Yeah, I heard Kamala Harris say there should be no conscience exemptions for abortion, even for religious people. That means you must do the abortion or you lose your job. I say, take the job. They may kill you, as they did to the martyr Stephen, or to the Lord's brother James, Acts 7 and 12, or as they finally did to St. Paul. They may even pursue you from city to city to persecute you in an effort to suppress the truth, Acts chapter 9. And for sure, they will slander you, just as they did to St. Paul in Galatians 1 and 2. He speaks all about it. Just as they did to the great man Luther and many others, including our own Pastor Matthew. Don't let them shut you up. Keep boasting in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are slandered for it, rejoice. Rejoice when you are slandered for the name of Jesus, Matthew 5, verse 12. Rejoice when you are persecuted for Jesus Christ, Matthew 5, 11. And keep on boasting about Jesus Christ, just like St. Stephen, until you make a believer out of your persecutor, or you see Jesus himself standing at the right hand of God and waiting to receive your spirit. Two pretty good outcomes. Don't let anyone shut you up about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when they try, boast all the louder about the great salvation of the cross of our Lord. We must never be ashamed of the gospel, but we must always boast about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ instead. If we are ashamed of Jesus before men and we refuse to boast about him and his cross and his lordship in our life, then he will be ashamed of us on that great day. That's what he said. See, there is a great day of final judgment that is coming for all mankind. We don't know when, but we know for sure it is coming. And the key difference on that day, the key difference between those who go to a glorious eternal life and those who go to a shameful eternal hell will not be your race, it will not be your money, it will not even be your church attendance figures. It won't even be your knowledge about what the Bible says. No, the key difference on that day will be whether Jesus Christ claims me or not. Matthew 7, 22, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles. I mean, that's a better resume than I have. And what will he say? I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, it is not our evaluation that will control on that day, but rather it is God's evaluation. Will Jesus Christ claim us as his or not? And we know that if we hide his gospel light under a bushel, if we refuse to boast about his cross out of fear of persecution or for any other reason, that he will not claim us on that day. Luke 9, 26, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, notice, not just ashamed of me. Plenty of people will say that they love Jesus, but ashamed of me and my words, the Bible. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. Let us fear and obey God and boast about his cross, never fearing mere men who can't do much. I mean, all they can do is kill you and send you to glory early. Luke 12, 4 and 5. If we truly know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we have truly seen the glory, the mercy, the grace, and the love of God represented by his cross, then we will boast, boast, boast about the cross of our Lord Jesus. Boast because I am saved and destined for glory. Boast because I am known by God, fully known. Because I am loved by God from eternity past. Because God paid the highest price for me in furtherance of his glory. Because the atoning work of Jesus Christ, God welcomes me, fellowships with me, and dwells with me. That's worth boasting about. His Holy Spirit dwells in me and speaks to me and directs me in the way I should go for my great blessing and his glory. Because of the glorious cross of our Lord Jesus and his work upon the cross, I can approach his throne of grace with confidence because I am forgiven. That's worth boasting about. I boast that his eye is on me to help me when I am in need. I boast that he is a wall of fire around me, such that not even a hair of my head can fall to the ground without his say-so. I boast that I am secure in God because Jesus paid it all. See, that's the only reliable basis. If you had to pay a part, it gets pretty shaky. But Jesus paid it all, not me. Jesus holds me in his righteous right hand. God holds me in his righteous right hand. I boast that I am loved by God from eternity past and unto eternity future. For he said he will never leave me nor forsake me, but will be with me always to the end of the age. In other words, we must be proud to be called Christians. The world will try to make us ashamed of Jesus. They will call us weak, stupid, in need of a crutch, backwards people, out of step with the modern time, intolerant, unscientific, or uncool. And my response to that is, so what? They are fools. Godless people are fools. Who cares what they say? Don't be cowed into silence by the bullying of the ignorant and the lying, for they know, every one of them knows deep down that the God of the Bible is true, that he is God, Romans 1:18. Let us stand up for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us glory in the cross of Jesus Christ our Lord, the atonement he achieved for us. Let us boast about the cross of Jesus Christ, for he saved us and he offers that salvation to all. Let us boast about the cross of Jesus Christ, because by it you are saved, you are forgiven, and you are beloved of God. My point is, you are not a nobody. You are not a nothing believer. You are somebody. You are a child of the King, the sovereign Lord of all the universe, adopted in love by God. We are told in the scriptures we are God's inheritance, his treasured possession. Why would we ever walk around with our heads hung down or afraid to mumble out a few vague words about Jesus Christ? No, instead, hold your head high. Speak loud and clear and with a godly confidence, and boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Boast in his gospel for the glory of God. For that cross, that gospel, all that is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. So be proud of God, proud to be a Christian, and glorify God in your boasting of him. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this reminder, and we pray that we would all be proud of you, not in our achievement, but in your achievement, not in our goodness, but in your love, your mercy, and your glory. May we boast, boast, boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and may you receive the glory thereby till you come in glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.